chapter 16 reads like this, verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Thank God for that. But the God of glory, when He gave this commission, He did not want to leave any doubt in anybody's mind that he that believeth not, no middle ground. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's hard words. But if modern man doesn't change too much in his thinking, many, many hundreds of years ago, Job, in his trouble, was plagued with a gnawing desire to know, just like you are tonight. And he asked the immortal question that every man asks, simply, if a man dies, will he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. My subject tonight, pray about hell. Would you bow your heads while I talk to the Lord for just a moment? Lord, I'm doing my best to do what you have put in my heart tonight. And I need you. I need you to touch me. Touch my mind. I can't walk this alone, God. And I promise that I'll lift you up. And I'll give you the honor. And I'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. You may be seated. That it matters too much what I have to say or any other man. Because I cannot change any part of the plan of God. It is settled once and for all. I visited the great medical center in our city a few days ago. A young lady in our church gave birth to a premature little girl. Mother, for about 30 days, hung in the balance, not knowing whether she was going to live or die. And I would go with that young man, beautiful young man, precious in the sight of God, he and his wife. I would go into that special unit in Texas Children's Hospital, I suppose one of the greatest pediatric centers in the world, little Mindy. Weighed less than 3 pounds, much smaller. And I was told that the first 48 hours of a premature child, its life, is almost the determining factor that it was going to live. Unless I leave you, Mindy and its mother came home Sunday. Oh, I could talk to you about miracles. God gave us one miracle after another. What I saw in that place, and I saw children, babies, that under normal circumstances wouldn't even be in this world, except they were where they were. I looked at the intravenous needles in the head. I looked at them in the bottom of the feet. And just going through looking, and some would live, and some would die. I could not help but think, while I was there, oh God, probably we're doing wrong to try to save the lives of some of these. Wait a minute. Please hear the conclusion of the matter. Job said, I would that God, they would have left me covered in my mother's womb, and that I would have never been born. Then the writer said, it would have been better that thou hadst never been born. And this is where I'm standing. If those precious little tiny souls that milled in those little bodies are going to burn in a red hot hell, it's better that we did not keep them alive. I know you're saying amen, but I don't believe you believe that. Maybe I'm through. You can't believe it. At first, a man starts a journey. And that journey may have many detours. And it may carry him many places. In the end, regardless of where he goes or what he does, there's only one place or the other, a choice of two, that he will ultimately go to. Only two. Had a distant relative of mine who claimed to be an atheist, passed away, died, and his desire was to be cremated. And out in the western part of our state, in the hill country, just west of Kerrville, there is a cliff. And that cliff is about 170 to 80 feet high. Just, of course, it's not big, and everything in Texas is big. And that preacher that made the statement this morning, if you're with a Texan 10 minutes, you know everything there is about him. I appreciated it. So let me tell you, Colorado, Brother Halo, has greater cliffs than Texas. But Texas have bulldozers that can level those cliffs. But there's something particular about this cliff. There is an object that comes from the cold, spring-fed water of the Guadalupe that rises. The thermals coming, cool air hitting the hot summer air of the western part of our state, and it causes an updraft. And his desire was to take his ashes and sift them off this cliff. His statement was this: what doesn't boil the air will go to the water. And not far from there, the Guadalupe goes underground and surfaces again several miles on down. And it goes through filtering sandstone. And he laughed and said, I'd like to see God put that back together again. But honey, just knock it down and we'll book. He said, if it goes to the water and it escapes the sandstone, it'll fall to the sea. And then the Gulf Stream will pick it up and carry it to the seven seas of the world. And he said nothing could ever put it together again. But sir, let me talk to you. It's not all bad. The verse that said, he that believeth and is baptized gave us hope. Hey, I want to talk to you about heaven a little while. The Bible described it. Oh, and it is a terrific place. The New Jerusalem. Heaven, whatever you want to call it. If we're going to talk about the New Jerusalem, he gave us the dimensions of it. You want to study it sometimes and have a Bible study on it, just get your computer or your calculator and figure out the size of it, divide it up in 1 mile cubes. And if you visit one neighbor at 60 miles an hour, from the time you come in my door, go out the back door, you visited one neighbor 60 miles an hour. See me 1 minute. From the time of Adam till now, 24 hours a day. When you get here, you still have got 6 million you've never seen. Call that a place. Hallelujah. Somehow we have songs written about mansions. I don't know whether there's going to be a mansion or a cabin. Really doesn't make me any difference. Not a bit. It's going to be all right, sir. The Bible goes into it just a little bit to tell me just a little what it's like. And it said that when you walk up to the gates, and if you go to any of the great ranches of our nation, they put a premium on the gate. You can tell if it's a real affluent ranch.
and the man's proud of his bread, by the gate you go through.
Most of us are doing good if we've got a cattle gap.
But I've been thronged at the gate. It was just something to see when you went in to the main estate. But God said this, that these gates, when the writer saw it, he described them this way. He called them gates of pearl. Not wrought iron. Not a buff gate. Not wooden gates. But can you imagine a gate of pearl? Now, pearl is not something you can melt down and mold. So it had to be a pearl. My God, what an oyster. One pearl. Hallelujah. But what do I care about pearls? They taught me it was wrong to wear them. Hey, I better journey on. I don't want to get off into that. But pearls, hey, that don't bother me. It's got the walls around the city. Jasper. Hey, I wouldn't know a jasper if I saw it. And it talked about sapphires and onyx and things that just stagger your imagination. Hey, brick walls to me are beautiful. But a wall of jasper. Can you let your mind just run a little bit wild and think that you could run for days and never get to the end of jasper? And it set the streets are made of gold. Hey, how many of you like gold? That's a loaded question, buddy. Be careful. Hey, let me tell you, it's not gold. It's fake. They taught me that I shouldn't wear gold. Now, I'm not talking about what they taught you. I'm going to tell you what they taught me. So I got on hypocrite gold tonight. But what would you do with gold streets? And they said it was so pure that it was transparent. It was like glass. How in the world, Brother Penny, when you get to walking in big old deep carpet that you're walking in and it feels like ankle deep and you kind of walk like you're on eggshells, if you're walking on gold streets, how in the world would you be able to do anything? Gold streets. Is that really what you're looking for? And I could stop right here and talk about all of the jewels and all of the junk that's hanging on you, and that's not what I'm here to preach about. Streets of gold. Hey, we moved into our new home a few years ago, and Sister Foss took so long to pick out the carpet, and she finally got it, and I choked, and I gagged, and I said, and paid for it. You're right, Miss Penny. And I didn't, that particular carpet, and She would meet me at the door. Is your feet clean? And that's the way I'd come in, and I'd scrub my feet, and I'd clean my feet, and she'd meet me at the door. Your feet clean? I just got to where I'd kick off my shoes. And you know, I got to thinking about it. That's my home. That's my nest. That's my kingdom. You be careful there. And so I just got to where I got to looking at them shoes one day, and I said, you know, this is so crazy for me to have a house that I can't feel at home in. And so I went back, and I just slipped on my shoes. You know, I'm not like everybody. I don't bend over and put them on. I just get my foot in them and work them. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Rose? So does Brother Young. We learned how to get them shoes on. Amen. And I just said, well, hey, this is home. Hey, friend, no, don't interest me. Gates of power, I don't care. Mansions, I don't care. But there's something about that city that turns me on. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's something about it that gets me excited when I got to the place that said there wouldn't be any need of a sun. There wouldn't be any need of a light, because the one that I love is going to be the light of that city. Hallelujah. It could be red Louisiana mud stretching up between my toes. The walls could be lop lolly pine. They could have not holes in the wall. But if I find Jesus there, that's going to be heaven. That's going to be everything that I've ever wanted. Just to walk up to where he is and say, I've crossed over. I made it. I made it. I made it. I made it. Something else going to make it heaven. Believe me. I wish I could sing right here. I can't, but I remember standing by a grave just 2 years ago, and we sang, I'll meet you in the morning. I remember seeing an old man that is grace your platform. I remember him telling me sometime before he died, son, I'll be waiting for you. I'll be waiting for you. He said, if you do what I've taught you, you will make it. Daddy hadn't taught you wrong. Somewhere by that eastern gate, I believe there's an old man and woman waiting over there. And if there's any way for them to look at a camp meeting tonight, I believe that that old daddy's looking at a boy. And he's saying, preach it, son. Tell him about it. Tell him what you think. Tell him how you feel. Oh, but that's not all. There's open the wives. There's sister wives. Open the weeks. There's sister weeks. There's Brother Ewan. There's those old men that's been here so long. Hey, you talking about heaven? Brother Tilly, we're going to go there, and together, we're going to walk into the throne room. We're going to walk into where he is. Hallelujah. Hey, friend, anybody ought to want to go to heaven. That's what he was talking about when he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be. He shall be saved. The man that believes, regardless of the color of his skin, regardless of his station, regardless of his financial standing, regardless of where he came from, all you have to do is do what that book says, and you'll get just as big a hunk of glory as anybody in all of this world. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He'll be saved, my friend. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't care if it all come to pass tonight. It wouldn't matter to me except one thing. There's somebody else that needs to go. That's not ready. We've got to do something about it. Hey, don't play with God. You know down in your guts whether you're ready or not. Would 10% of us go? Would 20% of us go? Would 30% of us go? Hey, I can't answer it. You have to answer it. But it said, he that believeth not, believeth not, shall be damned. How am I going to describe hell to you? What can I tell you about it? Heaven, he said, it has not entered into the heart of man. The things that God